Please rise for our gathering hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We sing verses 1-5.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. A little bit of bad news. We are having some internet difficulties, and so we may not be live streamed this morning, which also means that it is not on the radio. But I think it should be recorded, and later this week then, for those, if you hear from other people who are not gathered here this morning, that they can probably pick it up then on the website, church website. Please take note of all the announcements that are in the church bulletin. I really don't have anything else to add this morning. Does anybody else have announcements? Any other announcements we need to make? If not, then, oh, you do, Nick. All right, didn't see you.
Morning, St. Paul Lutheran. My first announcement is on the back of this bulletin, there's a little blurb about Project H, and that has the list of items that I am asking you to buy so the kids and I can assemble our hygiene kits in a couple of weeks. We still have to the end of this month and to the end of May, and then the first Sunday of June, that's when the kids and I are going to assemble all the bags together. So if you forget them on a Sunday morning, you can bring them throughout the work week, and I'll bring in my office. Katie is accepting them, and she'll also set them aside for me as well. My second announcement is please sign your child up for camp. Registration is closing on their end. All the good weeks, supposedly, all the prime spot weeks are being taken up. There are bunks being filled up. If your child is not in there, please sign them up. Get them in there as much as you can. Remember, the deal is it's $250 on your part, and then St. Paul Lutheran will pay the remaining, which is $375, for a total of $575. So unless you really like spending money and want to spend $600 sending your kid to camp, by all means, do that. However, if you want to take this deal, then please sign them up immediately. And let me know so I can call Camp Chrysalis up and say, hey, St. Paul Lutheran wants to pay for this child in particular. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Anybody else? Any other announcements? If not, then I invite you to rise once again for the greeting and dialogue. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the beginning was the Word. In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone.
Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in this life.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord, grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. God of all power, you called from death our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Send us as shepherds to rescue the lost, to heal the injured, and to feed one another with knowledge and understanding. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks. You may be seated.
Alleluia, alleluia, first lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 23 responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second lesson is from the first book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O
Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I think Nick has a children's sermon for us.
Good morning, children. Thank you so much for being here. Today, in the adventures of Jesus, Jesus is a very important line. I know my own, and my own know me. What does it mean to know somebody? Well, my routine, Monday through Thursday, is when I'm done with work, call up the Learning Garden, go pick up Gemma, and then from there, we go straight to school, to the corner store, because she wants her juice, she wants a candy, and then from there, we go straight to the park. Now, if there's somebody selling honey or pickles, jarred pickles right there across the street from the sheriff's department, we usually stop by there, and we usually get something so we can take it back home with us. And so Gemma usually plays for an hour. And in all the weeks and months that I've been doing this, I've noticed something very cool. There's like this voice that every dad and mom gives. Sometimes I usually see a lot of moms playing with their kids, and then dad will come up because he got off of work early, and he'll say, "Hey!" He doesn't say the child's name. He just says, "Hey, you!" And the child, "Dad!" And runs, and there's dad. Or sometimes it's the reverse, and it's mom coming to the park because she got off work early. And so mom will go, "Hey, you," doesn't say the kid's name, but the kid just knows, that's mom, that's dad. I could be walking towards the car, Gemma could be on the other side of the park, I don't even have to look at her, and say, "Gemma," and I snap my fingers, and she knows, oh, time to go, and she comes on with me. Sometimes it's a fight, but she usually knows, whenever I call her name, it's time to go. Now, how do these kids know who their parents are without looking? Because they know our voices. You know your dad's voice. I'm pretty sure your mom and dad know their mom and dad's voice. I'm pretty sure I see my friend Mr. Kohler right here. If he just snapped his fingers and said, Morgan would be, that's granddad. Or if he said, Robin, oh, that's dad, he's calling me, and come on over and run. You know your parents' voice. So when Jesus says, "I know my own, and my own know me," what does that mean? Well, just like kids, you know your parents' voices. Us Christians, we are children of God, and we know our Heavenly Father's voice. So whenever he says anything, you're praying, and he says your name, you know that's God talking to you. I'll give you a perfectly good example, a better one. Now, I don't know the full story of Pastor Tim Muehlbrecht, but I'm pretty sure he was praying at one point, and God said, "Hey, Tim, it's time to wear the cloth." And he got the call and said, "Well, I know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life." Little boys and little girls, I don't know what you're going to do when you grow up, but you're probably going to be praying one day, and he's probably going to look at you and say, "Molly, it's time. Bailey, it's time. It's time." I don't know what that time is. That's going to be up to you to figure out. But if you hear a voice calling back and talking back to you, that's not some weird monster in the closet or underneath your bed. Monsters don't exist. That's probably God talking to you. You should probably come find Pastor Tim, me, or go talk to one of your parents about it, because I'm pretty sure 100% of the time that is going to be God calling you. The next important part of this story is what Jesus says. He says, "I lay down my life for my sheep." Jesus called himself the good shepherd. He says, I take care of my flock. We are all his flock. I will take care of you until death. Jesus suffered death, so we do not have to. When we die, we get that extra life. Just like Jesus resurrected, we too will be resurrected, and we will join him in what St. John calls the new heaven and the new earth. And that is all I have for today. Pastor Tim, it's all yours.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He makes a distinction between being the good shepherd and being the hired hand. The good shepherd is the one who owns the sheep. In Palestine, in that day and time, there were wild animals, and really when they grazed their sheep, there were no fences around. The shepherd would live with the sheep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, during grazing season. And they would simply go from place to place wherever they could find the greenest grass, the richest, the tallest, the greenest grass, most nutritious grass, and then also the water as well then too, somewhere close with a water supply. And so they would wander from all over the place. And they would be living together as a group, as a shepherd and as a sheep. But sometimes the greenest pastures would lead you out into some of the most wilderness areas. And there would be wild animals. There could be wolves, there could be wild dogs, and even in that day and time, there were lions that were there. And so when that danger would present itself, either a pack of wild dogs or a pack of wolves or a lion would come. And if you're just a hired hand, well, you're going to try to do the best you can with your sheep. But when your own life is in danger, you're going to run away. You don't have anything invested in that sheep other than that is your job. And so if you lose your job, well, you'll just go find another job. But a shepherd, on the other hand, is actually the owner of the sheep. He has his whole life invested in that flock of sheep. His wealth is all tied up in those animals. And not only that, the animals are even more to him than just his livelihood. It is his livelihood. But at the same time, they are his companions. They are his friends to a certain extent. They're more like pets to this good shepherd. And so that good shepherd is willing to do anything to protect that flock, even to the point of laying down his own life. Because if he loses his flock, he loses his life anyway, because that flock is his whole life. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am willing to lay down my life for my sheep. And that's exactly what he did. And that's what we celebrate during this Easter season. Jesus laying down his life for his flock of sheep. His flock of sheep are us. It is us who believe in Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for us. Sheep are kind of funny animals. I haven't been around sheep a whole lot. And I do know, though, they have a reputation of not being too bright. And sometimes they have a sense to wander off or to get into trouble. They may go get tangled up in some briars or brambles. They may take a bad step trying to reach down a ravine just to get that one last piece of grass, and they may tumble over. They may get stuck in the mud. And so they tend sometimes just to get into a little bit of trouble. If you've noticed, the shepherd carrying his shepherd's staff, y'all know what a shepherd's staff looks like. It's a long stick, and it's got a crook on the end of it, curved on the end of it. The reason for that crook is so that shepherd can rescue his sheep. He could take his staff and loop that crook over the neck of the sheep and pull him out of the briars or the brambles or the mud or the upper ravine or whatever else, or pull his leg up or with a lamb, maybe even pull the whole body up with that crook. It's a tool designed for a shepherd to be able to take care of his sheep. And when danger would come, either from an animal, a wolf, wild dogs, a lion, or sometimes even bandits, thieves trying to steal sheep, that shepherd would stand up to him. He would have his staff, may have a slingshot, but he would stand up to whatever danger came between him and his sheep. And that's exactly what God has done for us. We have a tendency to wander off. We have a tendency to stray. We have a tendency to get into trouble. But yet, that good shepherd leads us back. Sometimes he may need to yank us back, but he does. He leads us back to him. And he is willing to lay down his life for us, which is exactly what he did as he went to the cross and as he was raised from the dead. Jesus laid down his life for us. Another thing that a shepherd does is make sure that the flock has good pastures, has good grass, and also has good water. As we read through the 23rd Psalm this morning, he makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. A good shepherd makes sure that his sheep are well cared for, that they do get good, nutritious grass. They get the grazing, they get the food that they need. And also, too, that they have good, clean water to be able to drink. A good shepherd is watching over his sheep all the time, making sure they don't get diseases, but he makes sure that they are fed and watered. That's the same thing God does for us. He provides us with everything that we need in our lives: food, clothing, home and family, daily work. He gives us everything we need, and even more importantly than that, he gives us the spiritual care that we need, letting us know that no matter what happens to us in this life, that God is right there beside us. God has gone through that with us. Jesus Christ lived on this earth and he suffered everything that we have suffered. He knows what it is to hurt. He knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to be done wrong to. Jesus was willing to do all of that for us. He stands between us and the danger that comes. And he provides us with our food and with our water. He provides us with the food of daily scripture, of being able to read those stories or to hear those stories of how God has interacted with people throughout the ages, and to hear their faith stories of what God has done for them. And also then that those scriptures that help guide us and help lead us into a more pure life, a life that is pleasing to God. It's in baptism that Christ waters us. Those waters come flowing down over us and wash us clean once again, making us whole, making us perfect, cleansing us for righteousness in God, so that we are acceptable to God. We are washed clean in our baptism, in the waters of baptism. He feeds us through Holy Communion, giving us the strength for strong faith in Jesus Christ through that Holy Communion, assuring us of forgiveness of sins, assuring us of that promise for eternal life. The Good Shepherd feeds and waters us. And another thing that a good shepherd does is he knows his flock. He knows who that flock is. I'm amazed a lot of times when I go visit some of the ranchers around of how well they know their animals. To me, they look like a bunch of cows out there in the field. I don't know those cows. I wasn't there when they were born. I wasn't there to doctor them. I wasn't there to work them or to inoculate them or whatever those animals needed or to feed them. I'm not with those animals all the time, but the rancher is. The rancher knows who those animals are. And I have even known some ranchers who have named each one of their cows. They actually know the names of each one of their cows. I did experience that at one point in my life. I did work on a dairy farm. And when I first started working on the dairy farm, again, all the cows looked the same. They were black and white. They were Holsteins. But then as I started working, I noticed, well, their markings are different. Even though they're black and white, the markings of the colors are different. And some cows were larger, some cows were smaller. And as I continued to work, I learned which cow was going to give the most milk, which one would give the least, maybe which cow needed some doctoring, maybe one that needs a little bit more feed. I learned those animals. They didn't have names, but they had ear tags. And so I knew they were named by their number, is what their names were. And so I started to know those cows, of which cow was which. It was really interesting, too, because those cows actually had a pecking order. When I was in the parlor, in the milking parlor, I could not see in the holding barn of where they were. And there was a electronic door that I could push a button, the door would slide open, and the next cow would come walking in. They'd be ready to eat some feed and also be milked. I got to the point where I could tell you which cow was coming in next. There was a certain and distinct order that those cows would come in, into that barn. Also, too, I learned which cow was most likely to try to kick me, and also which cow was most likely to swish a wet, nasty tail in my face. I learned that by experience. The good shepherd knows his sheep. He calls them by name. It is in baptism that Christ calls us by name. John, you have been sealed, marked with the cross of Christ forever, and you are my child. You are mine. You are a part of this flock. You are part of the body of Christ. You belong. And I will guard and keep you, and I will watch over you, and I will protect you, and I am willing to lay down my life for you. We have been marked. We have been called by name. It says in the Bible that God knows us intimately. He knows even how many hairs we have on our head. For some of us, it's getting a little easier to count. But he knows us that well. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. I don't even know that. But he knows us that well, and he calls us by name. There was a trial in England a number of years back between two shepherds. They were fighting over a well-bred, expensive sheep. One shepherd was claiming, that's my sheep. The other shepherd was claiming, no, that's my sheep. And they both brought in witnesses to help their case, bolster their case, and the case was really going nowhere. And so the judge had an idea, and he told the bailiff, go get the sheep and put it in the side room next to the courtroom. And so the bailiff did that. Okay, and the judge says, okay, now you call your sheep. And that shepherd started calling the sheep. Nothing happened. And then the judge says to the other shepherd, okay, you call your sheep. And that shepherd let out a most peculiar yell, and in comes bounding the sheep into the courtroom. And the case was solved. Who belonged that sheep? That sheep knew the voice of the shepherd. He knew who that shepherd was. He knew what flock he belonged to. And there's one other interesting thing here in this gospel lesson that we read this morning. Is that Jesus says he has other flocks that we don't know about. Usually this is interpreted that Jesus came not only for the house of Israel, not only for the chosen people of God, but he came for all people. He came for everyone. And because of that, we too belong to his flock. That message has spread all the way from Jesus to his disciples, throughout the generations to us, calling us into worship. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit into us, and he calls us by name. He calls, he gathers, he lightens all of us, bringing us into that one flock where we will be cared for, where we will be protected, where he gives us our food and our water, where he provides for our spiritual health, where he gives us everything that we need in this life, and is willing to rescue us when we fall into trouble, and also he is willing to lay down his life for us. Jesus knows us well. He knows us intimately. And he calls each and every one of us by name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, Lord of the Dance. Rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray to our victorious Savior on behalf of the church, the world, and all people. Good Shepherd, defend the church from peril. Provide for its needs. Lead it in paths of righteousness and holiness. Through its ministry, lead many to hear your voice and follow you. Bless pastors and bishops and make them faithful sheepdogs for your flock. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful Shepherd, defend and strengthen your people when they are set upon by wolves and persecutors. Make them bold with faith that their enemies repent of their evil ways. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Shepherd of this congregation, lead us with your word. Prepare our table with your body and blood. Teach us to do your will with glad and faithful hearts. Use us to lead many into your safe keeping. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, gate of your sheep, protect all people from false prophets, especially rulers who care nothing for their welfare. Bring peace in places of violence, rich pasture in places of poverty, and true righteousness in places of injustice. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, who is the rod and staff of your people, bless those who stand in harm's way on behalf of others. Guard, guide, and strengthen them. Prosper all their works that make for peace, health, and justice. Bring them home safely and soon. Lord, in your mercy. God of light and path through death's dark valley, be the strong guide and sure comfort of all who walk through troubled times. Fill them with your abundant life. Keep them steadfast in faith. Strengthen and bless all who care for them. We pray especially for Clark Kerlick, Morris Kerlick, Pam Roth, and Joan Mahacek. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing safely home all who have listened to your voice in this earthly life. Keep us close to your side. Lead us to that place where we shall dwell with you and with all the redeemed and shall feast at your heavenly table forever. Lord, in your mercy. Grant to us all that is in accordance with your will, dear Jesus, and accomplish your salvation among us. For you are risen from the dead and dwell in majesty with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh,
you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for me a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share your divine life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in
heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us all our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Come, for all is ready. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is Alleluia, Sing to Jesus.
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.